Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, hour number two. Our show continues with Matt Weiner of NBA TV. When you look at Golden State's schedule, I mean, it's favorable. It plays into their hands.
Yeah.
17 of their final 30 games. Matt, they're at home.
Yeah, they've got this road stretch coming out of the break. Really began right before the break. And then you're right, a bunch of home games. I realized a couple of weeks ago, because people ask me this all the time, are they going to beat the Bulls record? And as of a couple of weeks ago, it dawned on me, I think they are. I don't see anyone who has solved that puzzle, particularly in the regular season. Now, things change in the postseason when you can scout a team to death and, you know, try to take things away from them. But in the regular season, running up against that buzzsaw, so many teams find themselves down 15 or 20 before the end of the first quarter, and it's essentially over. They're scrambling to try to get back in the game. So I think they're going to do it.
Hey, NBA TV's Matt Weiner is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're shining the spotlight on the Golden State Warriors right now. And I got to ask you this, Matt. I mean, you watch them a lot. How much better are they than 1 year ago? And I think what's hard to believe is, I mean, they missed, what, half their season with their head coach.
The whole thing is remarkable. They had the short summer. Steph Curry and his wife had another baby. He's in every other commercial now. He had to take some time to do that. And somehow came back a better player. I don't know how that works exactly. It speaks to his work ethic and his dedication to the craft. But they are better. You know, Draymond Green is that much better a player now. They're healthy again for the most part. But even when they've had injuries, it hasn't mattered. Harrison Barnes missed significant time, and he's a factor as a rotation player. Festus Ezeli is out right now. None of it seems to matter, and that's what I was saying. As long as the core guys are there, their three All-Stars in particular, I think they are a little better than last year. And people were surprised last year because they made the huge leap from a six seed in the West to where they were, and now it's continuity, and I think as they continue on, it's repetitions, and they just get better and better and better. And this is a fairly young team, so it's not like you're worried about them getting creaky anytime soon.
What do you think is the key, though, to beating Golden State? Where are they vulnerable?
Not many places. The one area that I keep going back to, and I feel like the Spurs can maybe use to their advantage, is size across the board. Draymond Green playing center last year for the first time in his career since high school, he told us, that normally would set up for a mismatch on the other end of the floor. And I felt like the Cavaliers made a mistake in getting away from Mozgov. Not that Timofey Mozgov is a star, but he is 7 feet tall. And if you're going to throw out a guy who's 6'7", maybe, as your center, then you've got to try to take advantage of that matchup. I thought that was a mistake on the Cavs' part last year. Now, that doesn't mean it works, but the Cavaliers do have good size across the board, the Spurs have good size across the board, and I feel like that's one area where they could take advantage. And the other thing is you just can't let Steph get going. It's easier said than done, but I've seen so many guys this year who let him get away from them somehow, and he winds up with a wide-open three-pointer. Now, if you're going to give up a layup in order to prevent that from happening, then do that. It just makes perfect sense not to let him get going the way he does on a nightly basis. Again, easier said than done, but that's obviously key number one.
Well, the Spurs, they have size, but I'm thinking about the fresh legs of Golden State. You're talking about they are a younger team. I mean, can the Spurs match that type of athleticism?
Well, it doesn't matter so much in the playoffs because you don't have the back-to-backs. The schedule is a little friendlier
Good point,
for that.
Yeah.
The fact that as the season has gone on, LaMarcus Aldridge has become more a part of the offense, I think that's an important thing. They won't rely on touches for Tim Duncan, for instance, until late in the game. He's not going to play the same number of minutes. They don't need Tony Parker to penetrate on every single possession. They rely more on guys like Patty Mills coming off the bench, who's really come into his own. So I don't know that that's a huge issue. The Warriors do play really fast. The Spurs play fairly slow at this stage in terms of pace of play. So that kind of mitigates what the Warriors will do. And that's one of the mistakes I felt like they made unintentionally. It wasn't a strategic thing in their first meeting. It was really the first time this season I saw the Spurs get sped up in a way in which they lost poise and started throwing the ball around a little bit and making turnovers that they don't normally make. I think with repetition against the Warriors this year, I think they would approach that a little differently. And I would still give them a chance, certainly, in a playoff series. And it's one that, you know, I think most NBA fans would love to see because they've clearly been the two best teams.
About another minute with Matt Weiner from NBA TV tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And Matt, for just a moment, I want to digress and flip the calendar back. I think back to the summer of 2015, this past summer, you hosted the show Open Court, and you had an amazing interview with so many of coaching's greats, Alvin Gentry, David Blatt, Kevin McHale, Rick Carlisle, George Karl, and Lionel Hollins. And you talk about just the uncertainty and volatility as a coach. I mean, job security is a thing of the past. Would you have ever thought that so many of those coaches would be unemployed at this point in the season, Matt?
Yeah, we may have a tough time booking the next show next summer because half of them were fired.
I know.
And we're still, you know, just past the All-Star break now. Yeah, we may not want to mention that who was on the show last year when we're making calls to see who can join us for the 2016 version of that. That's what coaching is now, and, you know, I don't always understand it. I give the teams the benefit of the doubt because they know things about what's going on internally that we don't, but there are certainly some head-scratchers there. Kevin McHale, for instance, getting to the Western Conference Finals, and then you 11 games into the next season, they decide that it's not working. I don't understand that, and again, I'm not privy to what happens in practice or in the locker room, but that just didn't make any sense to me at all. You know, a couple of those teams, the Brooklyn Nets with Lionel Hollins, clearly they're trying to reset altogether. If he wasn't in their long-term plans, it's probably more fair to him just to move on, although I'm sure he would disagree with that assessment. And David Blatt, again, you know, if it's, I guess the standard is so high, if you've reached the finals and you aspire to get back there again and take the next step, which would be winning a championship, and you feel like it's just not quite right, then I, you know, there's an argument to be made to make a change, but it's a tough standard. And that's, you know, that's where the profession is right now, I guess.
My final question for you is, I know throughout the years, Matt, you've hosted a number of programs. What was it like being in that room? I mean, what an awesome conversation. There were so many takeaways.
Yeah, really cool. Great stories. And that was purposely when we formatted the show. We wanted to have a segment with the coaches' best basketball stories. They're not all fit for air, so they had to, you know, sort of edit themselves. But great stories there, and then great stories that cropped up along the way. They also had great insights on the smartest players they've ever coached for or against. Yeah, it was really, really fascinating to pick their brains for that time. And we did that over the course of, I'm going to guess, about 2 hours or so. And so you really, because of the limitations of an hour-long show, you really only got to see a fraction of what they had to say. There was really some fascinating stuff.
Well, it's been fascinating visiting with Matt Weiner of NBA TV. Thank you. First time on the program, Matt, and we look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.